Today I want to begin, brethren, by asking a few questions. And these questions I don't want an answer to, but I want you to think about them. And think about them throughout the sermon as we talk about. What I'm going to talk about is something that we haven't heard a lot about. But it's the Sabbath day. Today. God's Sabbath day. And, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, the period between the last great day or the eighth day and Passover, that's a drought of the word. And I've never really seen it that way because the Sabbath day is a very special day. And God set it aside. He set it aside and he made it a commandment, not a suggestion. So the questions I'm going to ask, when it comes to the Sabbath day, how serious are you, am I, in keeping it the way God wants you to keep it? How important is that? How important is that? Do we take God's Sabbath day seriously? Or on the other hand, and it's easy to do, taking it for granted. Just another day, really. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room feels that way or anyone online. But it's easy to take God's Sabbath day for granted. So is another question, is keeping the Sabbath day properly, the way God wants us to, is that important to you? Is that important to you? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question for myself. How does God want you and I to keep the Sabbath day? You ever ask yourself that question? How does God really want me to keep the Sabbath day? You know, when we read the Bible, it makes it very clear how to keep the Sabbath day. It really does. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, it's real vague. How do we keep the Sabbath day? You know, there's not a lot of information. Well, yeah, there is. Actually, if you start looking for it, you read the Bible, you ask for inspiration, and God shows you exactly where to look. So, let me ask another question. Do we think about or do we treat the Sabbath day, this day, as I stated before, a feast day? As God's holy day? Do we treat God's Sabbath day as a holy day? If we're not, we should be. We should be. Have you ever broken the Sabbath knowingly? You know? And I'm going to speak strictly for myself. I don't want anybody to raise their hands or any of that. But I personally have knowingly broke the Sabbath before. I've repented of it. God granted me repentance. And I repented of that. So do I make a regular habit out of breaking God's Sabbath? No. No way. But, and I think everybody knows what I mean. You got a 40-minute project going on. You know, I mean, you got to get this done. The sun's going to be going down in 20 minutes. And you got a 40-minute project. So I personally, and I'm going to just tell on myself, I fudged before and the project got done, but maybe a little late. Is that important? Is that important, going a little over into the Sabbath? Is that something that we even consider? Is it? Today, brethren, we're going to look at what the Bible tells us about the Sabbath day. It's going to, we're going to hear how we should conduct ourselves on the Sabbath day. It actually says what we should be doing. And I think a lot of the scriptures we'll be going over today, many of you have read before, if not all of us. Now, we're also going to look at today how God looks at the Sabbath day, how important the Sabbath day is to God the Father and Jesus Christ. How important is it? We all need to remember this. God's Sabbath day is sacred. It's sacred. It's sacred to God. It's very important to God, and we're going to see that today. But it's sacred. It's something that God holds very close, very dear. We should too. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it out of my notes. Mark 15, verse 42. Mark 15:42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day. Well, what's that? That is the day before the Sabbath. Okay, well, I thought we were talking about the Sabbath. Well, we're also talking about preparing for the Sabbath, getting ready for the Sabbath. You know, we anticipate the Sabbath each week. We should be. And we should be planning in advance for the Sabbath day. What we're going to be doing, potentially what we're going to be eating, you know, all the things that make up the Sabbath day, we need to be preparing for. God gave us a day to do that. When we read the Bible, it makes it very clear, that Friday, the day before the Sabbath, is the preparation day. And it kind of goes without saying that any holy day, the day before any high feast day, is also a preparation day. It's still a preparation day. We plan, we prepare, we get ready for the holy days, don't we? All the holy days, you know, we especially the feast. You know, we just got over the feast, and the eighth day. Did we plan? Did we prepare? If anybody traveled, you made airline reservations. We do these things in advance, but primarily, God gives us the day before to make sure that we've got all of our busy stuff out of the way. That we're focused on what? One thing: God. God and his ways. You know, you can find more references on the preparation day in John 19, verses 14, verse 31, verse 42, in Matthew 27, verse 62, and Luke 23, verse 54. We're not turning to any of these scriptures, but these are all references to the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. A day God gave us to plan and prepare for the Sabbath day, which kind of leans towards the Sabbath day is a very important day to God. It should be very important to us. It's so important that God gave us a day to prepare for it. Do we take advantage of the preparation day? You know, it's kind of funny. I was having this conversation with my wife, and we kind of agree. You plan your meals for the Sabbath day, but a crock pot, right? A crock pot is one of the best inventions they ever made for the Sabbath day. You can put everything in there, turn it on, and sit back and just let her cook. You know, you don't have to be standing in the kitchen. You don't have to be sweating. You know, it's just a nice, easy way to cook. And we're going to see that God wants us to think about these things when it comes to the Sabbath day. We really are. We've got to think about these things. You know, God taught Israel to plan for the Sabbath day. God taught Israel to prepare for the Sabbath day. And we're going to touch upon that here in a few minutes. Now, today's title is Shut Your Gates on the Sabbath Day. Shut your gates on the Sabbath day. Now, that title is going to mean something before we hit the end of the sermon today. But it's very important that we understand what that means. That'll make a lot more sense. Now, brethren, we need to remember, first and foremost, Christ is our example, right? He's our template. He's our role model. He's the one who lived a perfect life that we try to emulate. We try to be like Jesus Christ as much as possible. You know, we don't do as the world does, we do as Christ did, right? You know, we all need to remember that Jesus Christ, it's kind of ironic, he was persecuted. He was persecuted for the way he observed the Sabbath, in the way that he taught his disciples and apostles to observe the Sabbath. He did it wrong, right? At least according to some, he did it wrong. So I want to read a couple of examples of Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day, regarding the Sabbath day anyway. And I'm going to turn over to Matthew 12. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And we're only going to read a couple of scriptures here to start. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain field on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, the Pharisees, I want you to think about this now, when they saw it, they said to him, said, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. What are you going to do about it? You know, I mean, the Pharisees, they always were watching what Jesus Christ was doing on this on the Sabbath. So I want to stop right there for a second and ask a question. Do you and I, now I can only speak for myself, you can only speak for yourself, when you think about the way you observe the Sabbath, I know early on in my conversion, I came from the world, I came from the Baptist, not just Baptist, the Southern Baptist faith, and Sunday was the big day in the Southern Baptist faith. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, Sunday, Easter was the most important day of the year. Anyway, I won't talk much about that. Do we keep the Sabbath like Pharisees do? Do we think about it? Do we put a hedge around it? Do we sometimes make the Sabbath work? Bring our burdens, our personal burdens, into the Sabbath day? Do you and I do that? We've got to remember, brother, something very important. God's Sabbath day, as Mr. Bettis was talking about, he was talking about blessings. Blessings, right? The Sabbath day is always a blessing. It's always a blessing. Never is not a blessing. I want you to think about this. Now, some Orthodox Jews, and this is the modern-day Orthodox Jews, they won't drive their vehicle, they won't start their vehicle, they won't turn on a light switch. In fact, actually, their idea of the preparation day is going on and turning the lights on in their homes that they're going to need on the Sabbath. Okay, is this wrong? Is this wrong? I don't know. If you look up Orthodox Judaism on the internet, you might be really surprised at what you're going to find. At least I was. I mean, I didn't know about this. Some of you probably already did. You'll actually find 39 categories. It's called the Malachot, right? And it's a booklet that the Orthodox Jewish religion produces in many different languages. Things that are forbidden to do on the Sabbath day. Now, each one of these 39 categories has subcategories. So by the time you're done figuring out what you can't do on the Sabbath, you better not get out of bed. I mean, it's terrible. It really is. So, you know, I want to go back to Matthew here, and I want to continue reading and see how Jesus Christ responded to those that were persecuting him or challenged him as far as what his disciples were doing. In verse 3 of Matthew 12, verse 3, but he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Only for the priests. Or have you not read, verse 5, in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath day and are blameless? Verse 7, but if you had known what this means, I want you to think about this, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Verse 8, critical. This is the most important verse we're going to read right here. For the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, what does that mean? He makes the rules. He makes the rules. He's the one that dictates what can and cannot be done. He's the one that set the guidelines. He is, again, he's our template. He's our example. He's the one you and I want to emulate. So we want to keep the Sabbath the way Christ wants us to keep the Sabbath. Now, it's not to say all of us in this room aren't doing just that. This is just a reminder message for all of us, especially myself. Now, you don't have to turn there, but Mark 2, Mark 2, verse 27. And this is another very important scripture. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, for you and me. This is who it was made for. It's not mine. It's not yours. It was made for us. It's all of ours. And Jesus Christ, what does it say here? It says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is... So the irony of the Pharisees criticizing Jesus Christ for doing something wrong on the Sabbath is just, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous when we think about it. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is Lord of the Sabbath. More than once, he was ridiculed. He was persecuted for breaking the Sabbath. He was accused of it all the time throughout Scripture. Let's look at another example. Let's go over to John 9. John 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 13. And it's another example of Jesus Christ regarding the Sabbath day. John 9, verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Jesus healed this man, right? Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and now I see. I see. This is what happened. This is what Jesus Christ did, right? Verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man cannot be from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Okay. So, I'm going to ask a quick question here. Do you think any one of the Pharisees that were sitting there criticizing, condemning, ridiculing Christ, do you think they could have healed that man at all? But yet, he intimidated them. Jesus Christ intimidated the Pharisees, right? So I want to look at another example. Let's look at another example. We're going to turn over to Luke 14. Luke 14, I'm going to read verse 3, start in verse 3. Luke 14, verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers. Now we got lawyers involved. Okay. And Pharisees. Oh, there's the Pharisees again, saying, is it lawful? And they're going to try to stump Jesus Christ here. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Or Jesus is saying this, right? And Jesus answering and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. They kept their mouth shut. And he took and healed him and let him go. Verse 5, then he answered them saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, or a ditch, some translations say, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer regarding these things. Again, when I ask that question, do you think any one of those Pharisees that were sitting there ridiculing, any one of the lawyers, could they have healed that man? Could they forgive sin? Could they do any of the things Jesus Christ was here to do? No. They couldn't. They just didn't like Jesus Christ for what he represented at that time. How many times has our ox or our donkey, so to speak, and I know, again, I'll be talking a little bit about my own journey into the Sabbath, because I wasn't born into the church like some people were. You know, my wife and I, we were converted in our early 20s, and that was back in a few years ago. And, you know, it's funny, when I started into realized the Sabbath was really what led me to God's truth. the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment. What in the world? You know, I mean, who had the authority to change from Saturday to Sunday? Well, I think we've kind of covered that just now. Jesus Christ makes the rules, right? God the Father set aside this day. And you know, brother, the last thing you and I want to do is compromise the Sabbath day. And as I said earlier, we're going to see exactly how important the Sabbath is. Not only should it be to us, but it is to God the Father. So how do we keep? I said we would talk about what should we do and not do on the Sabbath. Well, let's go ahead and kind of cover that right now. We're going to turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and I'm only going to read a couple of scriptures here to start. Actually, maybe only a couple to total. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Okay. This is how we keep God's Sabbath. And it's fairly clear. But if you turn, verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Call the Sabbath a delight. Is that what it is to each one, to all of us? A delight? The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing. Think about this. What does this mean? You know, I know what I think it means. I'm not going to. It might mean something different to somebody else. Not doing your own ways. Not doing your own ways. Nor finding your own pleasure. Well, does that mean we should be miserable on the Sabbath? No way. No way. We're not looking for our own. You know, we're not playing basketball. We're not out, you know, doing fun and games. We're focusing on God. This is what we're doing. This is what this day is set aside for us to do, is to focus our thoughts, our attention on God. Focus on his plan. You know, let me finish the scripture. Not finding your own pleasure. It says not speaking your own words. Not speaking your own words. So let me stop and ask the question, how are we supposed to keep the Sabbath day? Right here, it's pretty clear. Not speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. How are we keeping the Sabbath day? You know, look at another area regarding the Sabbath. It's Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. We all just got back from the feast not too long ago. Leviticus 23. And I'm going to start in verse 1 because this makes it clear how important this day is. The Sabbath day that you and I are observing right now, how important it is to God. Leviticus 23, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. Right? It's exactly what it says. Well, the word for feast, the Hebrew word, is moed, M-O-E-D. The word literally means appointment, set time. That's what it means, a set time. The Hebrew word moed means an appointed time, a fixed time or season, or a meeting. It most often refers to God's sacred festivals and holy days, also called God's appointed time. or biblical holy days, right? I want you to think about that. Now, let's read verse 3 of Leviticus 23. The first day mentioned in God's festivals, the first day is the Sabbath day. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Again, that's Leviticus 23, verse 3. That's how important the Sabbath day is to God, right? He listed it as this is the one day every week that we've got the opportunity to join together and have a festival, worshiping God, learning more about God, fellowshipping with each other, iron sharpening iron, right? When we think about God's Sabbath day, do we think about it as a feast day? I think God really wants us to, based on the way he structured, put it where it is, right? You know, the book of Nehemiah has a lot to say about the Sabbath. Some controversial, but I don't know what's controversial in the Bible, really. Nehemiah 9. I want to turn over there and read a few scriptures. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in Nehemiah. Come on. Nehemiah 9. And as I mentioned as I started this message, God taught Israel how to prepare and plan and get ready for the Sabbath day. Most importantly, God taught Israel about the Sabbath day, how to keep it. Nehemiah 9, verse 12. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You remember this event? Boy, when God came down and spoke to Israel, what happened? Oh, he scared the pants off of them. You know, they say, you deal with Moses. You deal with Moses, right? Verse 13 says, you came down also from Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven, and you gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Verse 14, listen up. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You made known to them your Sabbath. God was teaching them personally about his holy Sabbath. So is this day important? Is this day something that is sacred to you and I? It is to God. So what did Israel do with this knowledge? What did Israel do with this knowledge? All these, you know, commandments, just ordinances, all these things that God had taught them, what did they do with all this? You know, again, when I was growing up, and this is when I was a child, I didn't know what the Sabbath was. I knew what Sunday was, right? I knew Sunday was the day that, you know, the church bus would come by. We'd go to Sunday school, come home, and as I was growing up, my mom would kick my butt out in the backyard to mow the yard or something. And Sunday was just, you know, it was the day, yeah, you went to church, but that's about it. You know, you really didn't focus on anything else, right? Wasn't like what I see the Sabbath as today, right? The Sabbath is a special day. It's a set-aside day. It's a solemn day. It's a day that God created for you and I. So, again, Nehemiah 9:14, you made known to them your holy Sabbath. Wow. Nehemiah 13, verse 15. Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. Again, we're going to spend a little some time in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13, verse 15. I want you to hear this. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. What were they doing? Turning it into just another day. Just another day, you know. I mean, we've got all these people going to church and what have you, possibly, or going to hear the law read, which they did in those days. But we've also got all these merchants, right? Now, let me ask a question. And this is an important question. Only I can answer for myself, and only you can answer. Do we sometimes do business on the Sabbath? That's a tough question to ask, really. Do we sometimes compromise when it comes to the Sabbath day? That's really easy to do. Only you can answer that question again. Do you and I sometimes bring our own burdens into the Sabbath day, where we're not fully committed to the Sabbath day and what God wants us to be committed to, which is Him. Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. This is what we're supposed to be doing. So let's continue in verse 16. Then men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah in Jerusalem. They were turning the Sabbath into just another ordinary day. You know, when I was Baptist years and years ago, Sunday really was just another day. Yeah, it was the day you went to church, but it was really nothing special about that day. As I mature in God's truth, in God's way, the Sabbath every week means more and more and more, becomes more important to me every day. So, it's important to me. How important is the Sabbath day to God the Father? And we've touched on it a little bit, but Exodus 16. I should have said we've got a few scriptures to go through today. Exodus 16, I'm going to read verses 22 through 26. Exodus 16, verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day. They gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And then he said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Okay, again, this is God the Father personally teaching Israel about the Sabbath day. It says, bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. That's important, right? And I think we all know the story. It's verse 24. So they laid it all up until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink. It didn't stink. For today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Says verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. What was God teaching Israel to do? He was teaching Israel to plan and prepare for the Sabbath day. It's the only way I read it. He was teaching them how to look forward to the Sabbath. Do you and I do that? We should be doing that every week. We should be anticipating the Sabbath. I know myself, the older I get, the more I appreciate the Sabbath. Again, telling myself one of the stories, when I was young, I could justify anything that was relaxing on the Sabbath day. Anything that, boy, I can fish out on the dock because I'm so relaxed on the Sabbath day. You know, wait a minute, that's not right. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. That didn't last long, I'm here to tell you. But I was guilty of making a lot of excuses of, yeah, I can do this on the Sabbath. You know, but what does God want us to do on the Sabbath? Not what do I want to do? What does God want me to do? That's really the big question that we all need to ask ourselves. What is God, and am I doing it? Am I doing exactly what God wants me to do? You know, God was teaching Israel to prepare for the Sabbath. Now, the fourth commandment, it kind of tells it all, doesn't it? It tells it all. Let's turn over now to Exodus 20. We couldn't not go there. Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do we do that? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, not just me, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days, this is why the Sabbath exists. For 6 days, the Lord made, the Eternal made, the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Wow. Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Sounds pretty important. I know it's important to God. Let's keep going in Exodus, and this time Exodus 31. And this is something that we all need to remember. We've seen that the Sabbath should be important to all of us. And we've seen how important it is to God. But the Sabbath is also a sign, something mutual between God and us. It's a sign between God and us. How important is that? This is a sign that sets us apart. Exodus 31, let's start reading in verse 12. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely, surely, my Sabbaths you shall keep. Didn't say you should keep. No, it didn't say that. My Sabbaths you shall keep. Means the weekly Sabbath that we're observing today, the Feast of Tabernacles, last great day, Pentecost, unleavened bread, Day of Atonement. These are all God's Sabbaths. They're no different than today. Each has its place in God's plan. Each one has its meaning in God's plan. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, continuing in verse 13. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy. Is it holy to you? For it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. We got to remember something, right? Keep in mind, there are consequences to not keeping God's Sabbath day properly. If we take it for granted, we're not doing what God commanded. We're not focusing our thoughts and our attention on God throughout this day, which we should be doing. We're not doing what God commands, not suggests, He commands. He tells us to do. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord, important to God. Holy. The Sabbath should always be holy, should be a sacred day. This is the way we should go into it. And I'm not saying anyone here or anyone online isn't already doing this. This is just a reminder. There's times where we get complacent, right? I know I do. I get complacent, and I'll push things all the way to the edge. Is that what we're supposed to do? No, God says we're supposed to plan and prepare for this Sabbath day. Be ready for it. Be ready for it. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as a perpetual covenant. That word perpetual means doesn't stop. Doesn't stop. This is something where God's Sabbath day is here. Is here. It's not going away. The Sabbath day is something that we have to look forward to. We should look forward to it every week. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So, who has the power to change the Sabbath from one day to the next, right? Who has that authority? Jesus Christ, as we've already read, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. God the Father, he created the Sabbath day when he was completed creation itself, right? So this is how long the Sabbath day has been there. It's easy for any one of us to become complacent when it comes to the way we observe the Sabbath day. It's easy to get caught up in our own little worldly thoughts and ideas and things that we talk about. God doesn't want us to speak our own words. He wants us to speak His words. He wants us to talk about Him. He wants us to talk about His plan. He wants us to recognize Him for what He is. Wow. So I want to ask the question again. How serious are you, am I, when it comes to keeping the Sabbath the way God wants us to keep the Sabbath? Are we beginning to see how important the Sabbath day is to God the Father? Kind of obvious to me right now. Exodus 31 and verse 18, I'm just going to finish this thought. Verse 18, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with what? The finger of God. Wow. The Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. This is the finger of God that wrote this. It wasn't a suggestion. How important is the Sabbath? Okay, so Exodus 35, just another example of God teaching Israel how to keep the Sabbath day. Exodus 35, I'm going to read three verses 1 through 3. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do, not suggested you do. Verse 2, you shall work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall surely be put to death. It says you shall kindle no fire throughout your generations on the Sabbath day. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that we should kindle no fire? For me, and I can only explain it for me, the way I understand this, we're not to exert ourselves. We're not to go out and look for things to do in the yard. We're not to go out and stock wood for the fireplace. We're not, you know, there's things that we should, it's common sense, brethren. And this is what Jesus Christ showed us in his example. Don't be a Pharisee about this. Use common sense when it comes to the Sabbath day. You know, I know my wife and I, we have gone, and I'd like to think we've grown when it comes to the Sabbath, but I used to make excuses to no end. You know, we might be in the middle of watching a show. Oh, you can watch the last 10 minutes, even though it fell in. Wait a minute, you know. I mean, and does God look at that as sin? I don't know, but you know what? I've started repenting of it just in case. You know, it's one of those things where you don't want to take this day, what God has planned for us, what he has prepared for us, right, and take it for granted. We don't want to do this. So I said we'd go back here. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah, and this time going to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. And again, in Nehemiah's time, they had some issues. But I look around this world today, and guess what, brethren? We have some issues, right? We got a lot of temptation, a lot of issues, a lot of things we have to contend with when it comes to the Sabbath day. So as we start wrapping this message up today, Let's see how Nehemiah handled the situation. Verse 17, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? You profane the Sabbath day. Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Again, there are consequences for not doing what God wants us to do, for not observing this holy, solemn day, sacred day, as God intended. There are consequences, brethren. There are consequences. I'm going to start reading verse 18 again. Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. By profaning the Sabbath. Buying and selling wares. Doing business. Turning the Sabbath into just another day of the week. Is that what God wants? I don't think so. I'm sure as we go through this message today that I hope everyone's got a little bit clearer idea of what God expects, right? Nehemiah 13, verse 19, continuing. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, just before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be open until after the Sabbath. What they did is they locked out those that were going to infect the Sabbath, those that were going to make the Sabbath something that it wasn't, something that it wasn't. Then I posted some of my servants at the gate so that no burdens would be brought into be brought in on the Sabbath day. Verse 20. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the city wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. Wait a minute. I don't think he meant it in a good way. I mean, when he says, I'm going to lay hands on you, he meant he's going to hurt you. You know, I mean, he does not want this for Jerusalem, for Israel. He doesn't want this for Judah. He doesn't want us breaking the Sabbath. The temptation should be pushed out of our lives, right? We should have a routine, and we should look forward to the Sabbath day every time. Oh, yeah, I don't know about you, but around Wednesday or so, I think I've been known to say, boy, I wish it was the Sabbath. A day that we can come together as brethren. We can take all of our life's issues, set them behind us. Think about those tomorrow. Think about those tomorrow. You know, in the world, their Sabbath, their Sunday, whatever it is, that they go to church, they mow their yard, they recover from the night before, and they sit on the sofa and watch football. You know, this is what the world does, brethren. This is what the world does on Sunday. And they call it the Sabbath. It's not a Sabbath. That doesn't sound like anything I want to be involved with. I mean, it's just another day of the week, right? That's what it is. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. So when Nehemiah basically shut the gates, put guards at the gates, told them, I'm going to hurt you if you don't leave, he enforced the Sabbath. He enforced it, which is great. In verse 22, and this is the last scripture we'll read, verse 22 of Nehemiah 13, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. To sanctify the Sabbath day. It's what you and I need to be doing every week. You know, I know some families, they have routines where as the sun begins to set on Sabbath evening, they have a family prayer, right? And the same thing as the Sabbath ends, as the sun sets on Saturday night. They thank God. They have a family prayer. And these are things that I would fully endorse. We do it at our home, but not as often as I think we should. We all need to remember the Sabbath day, God made it for us. He made it for us. We need to take advantage of it. We need to take advantage of the preparation day to plan, to prepare. No different than what we did for Thanksgiving just the other day. We planned that dinner. And, you know, I was talking to Mark Bettis before services and Anthony. And Anthony showed me a picture of a 40-pound, I've never seen a 40-pound turkey in my life. And he said, it was 43 pounds. Before it was cooked, I guess. Wow. Yeah, but there's some preparations. There's some planning for that, right? It's the way we should treat the Sabbath day. You know, and again, think about the conversations that we're having. All of us. Are our conversations focused on God? Or are they focused on our life? What is it? What should we be doing, brethren? We need to remember to shut our gates. Shut our gates and put guards at our gates every Sabbath. Every Sabbath. You know, don't let the world ruin this day for us. Don't let it be turned into just another day of the week that we go to church and we're no different than those that go to church on Sunday. No, God sets us apart. God has made this a sign between us and Him. This is a sign. How important is that to all of us? You know, God made this a commandment to His people. And as I said before, this is not a suggestion. Happy Sabbath.